With Ron Masters, UW-Stevens Point, you have an unusual course for this region, that is teaching firefighting in the wild. How's that going, first of all, and what is the interest among the students?
Well, it's going really well. The interest among students is both in fighting fire and learning about the ecology of fire and how we can actually use fire to enhance restoration of healthy ecosystems and reduce wildfire risk at the same time.
Now, for a casual observer, somebody like me that goes past a place that's been burned, you see grasses coming up afterwards, you see plants you didn't see before. I imagine this is part of what you're teaching as far as renewal of things that are buried in the forest floor.
This is true. Every time you do a burn, you benefit some species, and you may actually harm other species. But overall, ecosystems in Wisconsin and across the country are adapted to fire and actually need fire at some level.
There's been a lot of talk lately about the management of the national forests and not enough harvesting, which is creating perhaps a wildfire hazard. What do you see in the management of forests these days?
Well, first off, I would like to say that it's the public who has driven national forest management. So I'm not into a blame game, but if we're going to place part of the responsibility needs to be upon us, because for several decades we pushed the Forest Service not to do timber harvest, and the Forest Service complied exactly with the public's wishes. So there is a problem in terms of forest densification, insect and disease outbreaks, which are creating higher fuel loads and that are creating this huge hazard of catastrophic fire that we're seeing now.
You also teach fighting these fires, correct?
Yes, that's part of our program. While in fire suppression, the students start in with basic fire operations, and this is one of the areas that we're very proud to partner with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Brad Kildow has been teaching courses for over a decade with us at UWSP, and DNR does an excellent job. And that's part of our basic fire operations course, and then they have the opportunity to go on later and to get more advanced courses in firefighting.
Students in the program with you, what is their likely future in firefighting or in the resource itself, managing the resource itself? What do they do when they leave UWSP?
They have an amazing array of options to them. If they're into firefighting and that's what they want to do, they can work on the line. But I share with them that their time is limited there. That's people over 35 or 40, you know, it's getting pretty tough. There's a few of the people on the fire line, but they can move up to an engine boss, they can move up to some kind of a crew leader or an incident command, or they can actually go into becoming a fire behavior and fuel specialist. They can work with wildland fire use, writing prescriptions. But the bottom line is I want them to understand as they come through, they're natural resource managers. That's the bottom line. So they are equipped so that they have skills that will give them a broad background. So if they turn out to be a computer person, they can go into projecting wildfire behavior. If they're into kind of accounting type stuff, they can go into fire operations, logistics. Their interest line is more along ecological things, the relationships of animals and plants with their environment and how fire affects that. That's another option as well. So they have a whole array of opportunities that they can go to. And the job market, frankly, right now is better than it's ever been. We're going to continue to have catastrophic fires. It's not going to go away, and it's not something we're going to fix even in the next 10 years. So job security is there.
So sounds like the next 10 years look like a pretty promising area of development for people getting into that field.
Absolutely.
Just last year, but you know, a little over a year ago now, there was the big fire up north in the Solon Springs area. Any chance that your people got involved with that or used it as a study feature?
We have studied, we have talked about that in a couple of classes, a class on fire behavior and fuels, but the students were not directly involved, although actually we had three crews that were called out on fires at the same time in this area and then to the south of Stevens Point.
This is one of the few programs in the region, I believe, only one east of the river, is that right?
Yes, it's the only program in wildland fire science east of the Mississippi River. And there's perhaps a half a dozen in the whole country that leads to a bachelor's degree in wildland fire science. There are some graduate programs around that offer some fire ecology, maybe some focus in fire behavior, but UWSP is unique.
There are several standard fire departments, you know, Stevens Point, Whiting, Plover, just in your neighborhood. Any chance they work with you as far as learning certain things about fighting wildfires such as this when they get outside of residential structures and business structures? Do they work with you as well?
Well, at this point, no, not really. They do receive some training in wildland firefighting from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and they will work with them. And actually, I have a student who is working with one of the local fire departments because he wants to be trained both in structural fire and wildland fire. And they're very two different beasts, if you will. A house fire is very different than a fire burning in the wildlands, and not simply because they're shaped different, but the approach to fighting those is different. The equipment you use is very different. So that's why typically structural firefighters are not equipped to handle wildland fire situations. And conversely, wildland firefighters are not equipped to deal with structural fires. It's not in their training, although some, there's a few that like to do that because we're having wildland urban interface issues right now. People are building homes in the wildlands, and that's where a huge part of the cost comes in suppressing wildfires, is from fighting at that interface. When you have subdivisions, homes that are built out in the woods, so to speak, or out in the prairies or rangelands, and there's not the access, there's not the water, so that creates a huge problem. So I see the need for having some dual training.
Is there something that people can do if they're building in these areas that would help if there ever is a fire?
Exactly. And one of the courses I'm teaching right now is fire suppression, actually fire policy, suppression, and use. And on the suppression side, we talk about the wildland urban interface. And actually the students are, as part of one of the class projects, is developing a wildland urban interface plan for a neighborhood in Stevens Point. So they go out and they interview the homeowner. They have a set of criteria that they examine. You know, you need to have fuels removed from near the house. It's always, we have a zone of 60 feet that we'd like to have things cleared back. Often people are just unaware that a particular type of shrubbery that they may plant is flammable. Also, they need to have Class A shingles that have a fire retardant embedded in those. They also need, instead of using the beautiful wood siding or vinyl siding, they need to have stone or brick exteriors. Those are things that which can actually save a house, how the house is situated with respect to trees and things like that. There's a whole checklist that they go through. They look at ingress and egress in neighborhoods. They look at the availability of water. They look at the signage. Is it clear? Is it a place where a large fire truck could even turn around and get into? What's the access for firefighters?
So good advice for people building homes in these rural areas is to look at some of these things, not just the house plan.
Exactly. And there's a number of websites. There's fireadapted.org. There's firewise.org that people can go to and find out more information about that. Wisconsin DNR has a great program in terms of community firewise type programs and things like that, where they will work with the community in terms of being sure that their community is safe from some kind of a catastrophic wildfire.
Once you've had a prescribed or controlled burn, you probably see different plant species coming back. You see less of a fire hazard with that fuel gone. Are there other benefits that we should know about that take place after that burn?
Well, one of the things a burn does is it enhances nutrient cycling. So you have this above ground biomass, not to get too technical, that's ashed, if you will. And so if you get a rainfall soon after that, it's recycled very quickly. Plants will start growing because the ground is black. It heats up quicker, so you get an early green up. And that, of course, is beneficial to numerous species of wildlife. It's been shown that wildlife are attracted to burned areas because the forage that comes up is more nutritious, it's more palatable. And there's just, you know, there's a number of species that we're losing that are on our endangered species list. Carnar blue butterfly is one. Kirtland's warbler is another one that benefit from periodic fire. So that the person who's out there setting a prescribed fire is actually doing good land management.
Let's say someone's interested in learning more about the program that you're involved in here at EWSB. What should they do and who should they call?
They should call me. I'm in the College of Natural Resources. The phone number is 715-346-3500.
Anything you want to add today?
One of the things I would like people to be aware of is that there is a need for fire on the landscape. Obviously not the kinds of fires that we're having out west, but fire is a natural process. We can't let a lightning strike burn as it will, so we have to choose and when and where to set those fires ourselves. It's important for, it's a natural process. It ensures ecosystem health, and it reduces the risk of wildfire. That's been shown time and time again. If you plan those fires, you reduce the fuel loads, then any kind of fire that you have as a follow-up is not going to be as severe and not as damaging. So we need to think about fighting fire with fire and managing to maintain ecosystems.